Welcome to the Council of Better Business Bureaus podcast, Better Business, Better Series, where we will explore top-of-mind topics with business and industry leaders to understand the leading trends and innovations that continue to push the envelope in today's marketplace.
For the Better Business, Better Series podcast, I'm Will Johnson. The holidays are here, and for businesses, there is much to think through, get done, and prepare for the up-and-coming new year. We can all agree that the noise level in our marketplace is on max volume, and even with this lengthy to-do list, businesses still need to get in front of their customers. BBB wants to help you do just that. We have pulled together a few clips from a number of podcasts we brought you throughout 2018 to assist. Take a walk with us through these episodes and allow us to make this holiday season a bit easier. We are living in a day of content. In our content takeover world, how do you make yours stand out? Daniel Sattelmeyer, creative director for BarkBark, tells us what you need to know and do to ensure your ads are seen by your audience.
You know, there's sort of three big things that we like to help clients focus on, no matter how large or small they are. For us, it's really about audience alignment with your ad buy, which really means doing the research and knowing who your audience is and where they are. Contextual relevance for that ad, meaning that you're not just making a random ad and putting it everywhere, but that you're really fitting that ad to the program and the audience that you're trying to reach and what they like and what they, you know, want to see. And then this is very important for us, and I think everyone, is authenticity. And that's really just not trying too hard. I think we've seen a lot of failures, and not naming any names, but really big companies, you know, sort of failing with ads where they just get away from that authentic message and they try to be something they're not.
In addition to following these three big rules, advertisers, big and small, can break through the noise, even the noise of the holiday season. And yes, ads are still being seen and watched when you're able to make the audience stop and listen.
Identifying your audience and providing contextual relevance is key. It's all about, you know, I think we really have found that it's all about that first 3 seconds, you know, dwindling attention spans, everything that everyone's talking about. Viewers decide immediately if this is going to be something that they want to watch. I think we're all guilty of that, me included. You know, time is precious. The internet is a shining and infinite universe of rabbit holes and places you can go. I think chances are today, you know, viewers are watching TV with a smartphone or tablet in their hand. They're browsing the internet at the same time. They're probably doing, you know, we've gotten really good at multitasking. So, you know, I think it's really about working into the content that they're already watching to capture their attention, to make it seem like you're very much in the know, that you get who they are, that you get what they want, and that, you know, you're really in tune with them.
One tip that may surprise you: shorter is not always better. We hear it over and over again that our attention spans are decreasing and it is becoming more and more difficult to get us to freeze. However, people have always loved a good story. Are your ads telling us one? Here's why you should consider that they do.
You know, a lot of people think that with these sort of shorter attention spans that, you know, everyone keeps preaching, it means let's make content shorter. And I think all that really means is that you just have to capture that attention quicker. Sure, you've got to hook them. But what we've found, and what I think a lot of, you know, big companies have found, is that we have this really amazing opportunity with online ads to not be constrained by the, you know, the time limits of traditional TV. We don't have to squeeze into 30 and cram an entire message in a story and hope you're moved by it in 30 seconds, you know, with the super fast voiceover, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
I'd be happy to do it. Yeah.
No, go ahead. Yeah, let's do your best.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
but we can actually amazingly let a story breathe, appeal to emotions, tell them a story they care about. And I think it really reflects the content that they want to watch. I mean, that's why Netflix and Amazon and Hulu and HBO are so successful with making these longer form, you know, series that people like. I think you're seeing that trend move into advertising too. You know, it's interesting, you know, even in Facebook's latest funding for Watch, you know, they're really pushing their partners to make their shows longer, to make their ad pieces longer. So, you know, we're really seeing the big players try to produce longer form quality content.
TV and online advertising are not the only marketing initiatives used to help businesses position their brands, products, and services. Social media and video are other forms used to create recognition and drive consumer-customer actions.
At the heart of digital, as I said, it's about community. And what that means for businesses in particular is to approach the content that you put out there in a way that will get community engagement. And that means getting people to talk about what it is that you're putting out there, the media that you're putting out there. It's not enough, for example, in my world, I focus a lot on video. It's not enough to just have a good video and put it up there. That video has to be targeted towards a specific audience to try and get a specific reaction out of that audience. And to do that, you really need to engage them. So the perfect video is something that's going to actually inspire a conversation. It's going to get the audience engaged. And as you start to build that community, you start to build more of a brand affinity. The thing about millennials is that they really want content that feels like it's made for them. And they want a relationship. They're willing to have a relationship with brands. You have to give them a reason to have that relationship. You have to show and express yourself as a brand to make it feel like you're part of their community. And if you do that well, you're going to get that audience response.
What better time of year than the holidays to think through the kind of community you are building for your audience? As James Williams of Digital Video Strategies informs us, customers want a relationship with brands. Might be easier said than done. James guides us on some ways to get started.
So I like to use the landscape business as an example a lot, just because it seems like a business that doesn't necessarily need digital video or social media, but gosh, it sure can help.
Right.
Right. So you want people to call you and come over to your house and mow your lawn, et cetera.
Right.
So your goal is, in that case, drum up more business, have people call you on the phone. It's not necessarily for people to watch all your videos, although maybe it is, right?
So the land. So if we're going to
use that, can I use that?
Absolutely. Right, okay. Let's
walk. We can do something else if you want.
No, let's walk through that garden. So. You're offering the services of landscaping. So that means you're going to have, there's a certain clientele that you're going after. It's probably folks that are going to be a little bit older that are homeowners or somebody who runs a business that has that sort of presentation.
And they don't want to do it themselves.
They don't want to do it themselves. So they've got some amount of disposable income that they can put against that. So right there, you've already cut out a good chunk of your audience.
Forget Snapchat.
Exactly. Those people probably aren't on Snapchat. Yeah. And they're also not expecting that message to be on Snapchat.
Right.
Facebook would be a perfect place for that, because not only can you, A, tell your story visually, and you can excite an emotional response from putting together a beautiful landscape. If you give people the opportunity to envision what your landscaping product in their house, they're more likely, you're creating an emotional response and a connection to that audience. You get on Facebook and you can start targeting homeowners and people in the right demographics, in the right areas. If you're looking for a specific city, you can target specific cities. You can start to factor in all of these various elements to create a really targeted campaign. And what it comes down to is identifying a niche audience and programming specifically to them.
Now that you know how to get started, where do you start? There are a number of platforms in the digital landscape, and it can be overwhelming to drill down where to be. Here's one more tip to guide you along the way.
You have so many options, and a lot of people don't know, should I be on Facebook? Should I be on Instagram? I don't have a Pinterest account.
Right.
What I try to help folks do, and what I encourage folks to do, is just think about what it is that you're trying to achieve and just build your strategy back from that. And if you start doing that, things get a lot easier. You don't have to make as many decisions, and you'll have a better chance of getting the results that you're looking for.
As businesses think through where devoting their time and effort will make for the greatest impact in the year to come, we realize that many are also thinking through how to make big impacts in their communities before the year is up. Business owners want to give back, and we want to help you ensure that you are giving to organizations that are tried and true.
In Operation Donate with Honor, we also launched an education initiative, because education is the key. Businesses and donors can protect themselves and find those worthwhile charities, those many worthwhile charities that do deserve our support. And to help businesses, we published a tip sheet that includes information for businesses about how to research if a charity does ask to set up in front of your store. And most helpfully, we also provide, attached to that tip sheet, a PDF of a questionnaire that a business can use to give to the fundraiser or the charity, ask them to fill out the questionnaire. It's just 2 pages, and then the business can use that to do its own quick research, and they'll also have a record. The questionnaire is available at the FTC's website, www.ftc.gov/charity. Look for tips for businesses.
Tracy Torleifson, an attorney at FTC, leaves businesses with a few tips that will help you identify and support legit charities.
First, make sure that you're not just being fooled by a good name. And then do research. And there's three or four things that are easy to check out. Google the name that's given you, the name of the charity. Google it in connection with the word complaint. Check with your state regulator to make sure that the charity or fundraiser is appropriately registered.
Fraudulent charities are not the only shams businesses should steer away from this holiday season. Faceless crimes spike this time of year, not just for individual consumers, but for business owners as well. Hit hard are small businesses, which are the backbone of our economy.
It's a significant issue. Small businesses are a vital part of the U.S. economy. The Small Business Administration estimates that nearly 30 million small businesses are in the United States, employing about half of the employees in the private sector. Small businesses each year create about 2 out of 3 new jobs each year. So that gives you a sense of just how vital they are to the economy and how they're drivers of innovation.
Though small businesses do so much to keep our marketplace thriving, know that they are targets for scammers. There are specific scams where the goal is to make a small business its victim. Melissa Trumpauer of the BBB Institutes reminds us of a few.
There are some scams that are specifically targeted only at small businesses, like fake directory ads or phony invoice scams and so forth. We believe some scammers are specifically targeting newer small businesses who are getting set up and are excited to get their first customers. They're trying to establish their reputation, so they're more vulnerable. With more than 35 million small businesses in North America, they're a prime target because they're typically very busy with smaller staffs. And they're in the business of talking to strangers. So unlike consumers who cannot answer the phone if they don't recognize a phone number, businesses don't have the luxury of doing that. They have to pick up the phone because it's a potential customer.
Lois Griesman from the FTC drills down even further to help you recognize some very specific tactics scammers will use to try to defraud small businesses.
Yes, unfortunately, there's no shortage of ways in which scammers operate. They can mail you, literally put in the mail a fake invoice. They can deliver unordered merchandise. And I want to be clear, if a small business receives unordered merchandise, it's yours. It's a gift. You don't have to pay for it. Mel mentioned fake invoices and also unordered merchandises, but there are a variety of other ways. Sometimes they'll create a sense of urgency, almost create a dire situation. For example, a phone call that's received by a restaurant during the lunch hour indicating you didn't pay your water bill. We're about to shut your water off unless you wire transfer money to us. So we see both use of the mail, use of the telephone, and any other variety of means designed to dupe the small business into thinking, I'm dealing with my utility or I'm dealing with the government. If I don't renew the license right now, I could be cut off.
With the hype of wrapping up the current year and juggling all that is needed to be ready for the one ahead, we should say that the best defense is a good offense. So how do you safeguard yourself from these targeted scams?
Train.
Yeah.
Make sure you yourself, the head of the small business, knows exactly what's going on and what scams to be on the alert for. And also train your employees. There's just no substitute for it. Talk to them about fake invoices. Talk to them about unordered merchandise. Talk to them about pop-ups that appear telling them, this is part of a technical support scam, that your computer is in dire need of repair. It's about to explode unless you allow remote access. And invariably you're told, yes, your computer is infected, but we can tell you how to fix it for just a couple of $100. So there's no substitute at all for training. Also, the FTC has issued a business guide for small businesses. You can get it at ftc.gov/small business. And we've partnered with the Better Business Bureau to make sure it is as widely disseminated as possible.
Turning customers into a community, knowing your audience, giving back, and avoiding scams. These are themes we come back to over and over on our show. And while it might seem daunting at times, Approach each idea one step at a time. Get feedback, listen to your customer, decide what's working and what's not, and start growing your business. Most importantly, reach out for advice and help when you feel like you need it. You are clearly not alone as a business owner or an entrepreneur. There are others up and down the block thinking about the same challenges. And in the spirit of the season, share your experiences and how you failed and succeeded. Your story could help someone else grow their business, and it might just come back to you down the road. From all of us at the Better Business Bureau, happy holidays, happy giving, and here's to success and better business in the year to come. For the Better Business Bureau, I'm Will Johnson.
You just enjoyed Better Business, Better Series podcast. Be sure to tune in next month for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com and subscribe. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the Better Business Bureau, Council of Better Business Bureaus, or program affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.